Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Hey, Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. I hope that you are having a great day. And why would I wish anything less for you? Hope you're having a great day. All right. I am coming to you today from beautiful Lake Tahoe. I'm here in my, I call it the shed quarters. All right. I'm so happy to be in Lake Tahoe right now. All right. I should say this. So I'm having a hard time getting into work mode. All right, I'm just going to confess. All right, so maybe this podcast is an excuse for doing more, I don't know, just hard labor, okay? It's easy for me to get on the podcast and talk with you. All right, longtime listeners of the podcast know that Lake Tahoe has been our base for more than 10 years. In that time, we've lived other places, we've traveled, we spent a year and a half living in Guatemala. Right now we are calling Tuscaloosa home, Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But we still have our house in Lake Tahoe. It's on Airbnb when we are not here. But we have escaped the heat of Tuscaloosa. Just after the 4th of July, we left Alabama. We came to the mountains and took some time off to be with friends. We were camping. I was totally offline for 4 or 5 days. And I said, I'm going to ease back into work like immediately after the camping trip. But then I took a long weekend after the camping trip and I'm just having trouble getting back to it. But, well, I mean, come on, give me a break. I'm in Lake Tahoe. It's amazing. It's incredible. There's trails to hike. There's lakes to swim. There's mountains to climb. All right, by the way, okay, I'm going to say this. All right, if I am talking about Lake Tahoe and you're like, I want to come visit, this has been something that has been on my mind for a while. I have considered this. My wife and I have talked about this. We have considered hosting a Major Gifts fundraiser. I don't think, like, conference isn't the right word. Retreat isn't the right word. Something between a conference and a retreat, well, a gathering. We have considered hosting a Major Gifts Fundraiser gathering in Lake Tahoe for nonprofit leaders and fundraisers. All right, so, and we do some combination of outdoor things and sessions. So if this is something that you would be interested in, you should email me and you would say, yes, like I would do that. And like, maybe I would be motivated to actually put it together because I thought about doing it for a long time. All right, so if that's of interest to you, the email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com, by the way, another by the way. Hey, you can, if you want to contact me or reach out to me, not by email, but on social media, we're on all the usual places, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, even TikTok now. And we're actively posting stuff and building some community. And guys, it's not like, you know, impersonal. Like if you comment, like I read your comments and I will comment back. So this isn't some bland personality-less channel, right? If you comment, I will see it and I will respond. All right. So you can also comment there. Say, Clark, I want to come to Tahoe and hang out with you. And I would love that. All right, main topic for the podcast today. Because I have been on vacation and I have been swimming in some alpine lakes, I have also been ruminating on some things. And to help me do that, I have had Arthur Brooks with me. Now, Arthur Brooks is a social scientist who studies human happiness. First of all, I should clarify. I wish I had Arthur Brooks with me. That would be fun. I have a book that Arthur Brooks wrote that is with me. All right. This is the book I've been reading. And I've been reading it at the beach and on campsite, so it's really dirty and messed up now. That's a good sign, though, right? Another, by the way, I think fundraisers need to spend more time reading. Fundraisers need to spend less time reading sales and marketing books. Yes, read sales and marketing books. I've read lots of them, and I've talked about many of them on the podcast. All right, but we should spend more time reading psychology books. All right. Understand how the mind works, how relationships works, how emotions work, how people are wired. That's what we need to understand more than how do I sell somebody something. All right. But while I've been swimming in alpine lakes and running up mountains, riding my bike up mountains, I have been ruminating on some of these ideas that Arthur Brooks has been sharing with me in this fantastic book, From Strength to Strength. The New York Times bestseller. Not only is it a New York Times bestseller, it has a quote from the Dalai Lama on the cover. So that is saying something. In this book, Arthur Brooks helps people find greater happiness as they age and change. All right, the subtitle is Finding Success, Happiness, and Deep Purpose in the Second Half of Life. All right, now when I first was recommended this book by a friend and saw that subtitle, I wasn't so sure about it. I'm only 43 years old. Am I really in the second half? All right, but let me just say this. It has been this year in particular, the year 2023, has been an incredible year for me. And I'm not talking about business success or new clients or anything like that. I'm talking about stuff that's been going on inside of me where I feel my strength renewed. I feel like I have the strength of youth. I feel like, and as an endurance runner, I know something about this. I feel like I can run and not grow weary. And I would say this, it is one thing to be young and to have the vigor of youth. It is another thing to be, let's say, not young, and to have the vigor of youth. And I feel like I have that again. And while I am not willing to say that I am old, I will confess that I am no longer young. All right, so I guess this is middle age. And yet I find that I have the strength of youth. The hopes and dreams of my youth have been renewed and refreshed this year, and it has been an incredible year. And I have talked about this on the podcast before, but I had a really hard time turning 40. And if you want to hear me process that, I actually did another podcast. There's just 17 episodes. You can look it up on any podcast platform called Dealing with 40. And I talk about processing what it was like and what it meant to be turning 40. And while I struggled so much with turning 40, I feel like I'm going to kill it when it comes to turning 50. Because I am already processing stuff that Arthur Brooks says that I should be processing around the age of 50, and I'm only 43. I'm such an overachiever. All right, but I am taking some motivation from Arthur Brooks in what I want to talk about today. All right, sorry, this is the long lead up to this. I'm taking some motivation from Arthur Brooks to talk about burnout. When fundraisers feel burnt out. Like, have you in your career, in your work, ever felt spent? I'm not talking about tired. Yes, we have been tired. We have all been tired. We have all been to 12 cities in 6 weeks. And right, we've been tired. I'm talking about feeling burnt out because you felt like a sellout. Like, you just felt icky in your work. And we're supposed to be engaged in meaningful work, but the way you were doing it made you feel icky. Like you can't keep doing this. An exhaustion that is different from tiredness. Because sometimes on the podcast or in general on the Major Gifts Fundraisers channels, All right. I think we put forward this picture of me, and I'm 20 years old, and I'm sitting at the feet of the master, right? Gerald Pantis. And if you don't know the name, Jerry Pantis was the best. He was a master fundraiser and a master teacher of the craft of fundraising. And he was a beautiful human being. And I was sitting at his feet at the age of 20 years old. Buck Smith, the man who coined the term moves management. I spent time with Buck Smith. I was able to learn from Buck Smith as a 21-year-old kid. And he invested in me right as a young man. And my career started out at the home of Ronald Reagan. So I'm working on a project where I am preserving a presidential home, a piece of American history. And I was 26 years old the first time I asked for $1 million gift. And this is what we do sometimes here at Major Guest Fundraiser, right? We put forward this picture of me, and it's an accurate picture. All that stuff, it's all accurate. And as we put forward that picture, we talk about the importance of training and mentorship. And these things were immensely important to me in my career, right? And so we talk about this, right? Like, hey, the way I was mentored by Jerry or by my boss, Ron Robinson, or others, right? Like, I would love to be that mentor to you, right? The way they helped me, can I help you? And so we talk about that. And it is an accurate picture. And we paint that picture a lot, I think. But it's also an incomplete picture. Right? You knew that, right? It's an incomplete picture. So in the sales or in the professional development, there is a often repeated mantra that your strengths have gotten you to where you are, but it's your weaknesses that are holding you back from going where you want to be or where you could be. And I think there's truth in that. And I definitely embrace that early on in my career. I'm thinking about Brian Tracy. And I think that particularly when you're young in your career, yes, your strengths will get you are right now, but you need to work on your weaknesses to go further. And yes, do that. All right. And the truth of this is, right, like, hey, like if you're really good at asking, but really bad at closing, right, like there's a ceiling. And so we have to work on our skills. And I think we can't take the easy way out, and we can't just say, well, these are my weaknesses. Like initially you have a lot of weaknesses, and you have to sort through them, and you have to get better. But there comes some point where after years and years and years of working, right, you find that you still have these weaknesses. And I think there comes a point where we say that your strengths have gotten you where you are, but your weaknesses are holding you back. And you spend time working on those weaknesses, and you can only spend so much time. At some point, you have to say, like, this is who I am. And to me, the next iteration, all right, I think Arthur Brooks is talking about this, the next iteration, the next stage is embracing your weaknesses. And again, we can't take the easy way out and embrace them early on. But at some point, you just embrace them and you say, this is who I am. And you become okay with this is who I am. But going back to this incomplete picture, yes, I sat at the feet of Jerry Pantis when I was 20 years old. But by the time I was 30, I was burnt out. So, like, what happened from 20 to 30? How was I being mentored by Jerry Pantis and really having an amazing beginning to my career? And by 30, being really burnt out. So I want to read this passage to you in Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. And he says in here, sorry, he says in here, all right, he says, it was through my weakness, not my strength, that I was able to connect with people who I never would have met otherwise. And he says, if you want to make deep human connections, your strengths and worldly successes won't cut it. You need your weaknesses to do that. All right. It was through my weakness, not my strength, that I was able to connect with people who I would have not have met otherwise. If you want to make deep human connection, your strengths and worldly successes won't cut it. You need your weakness for that. All right, so he goes on to quote Brené Brown. And if you're a listener to the podcast, you know I love Brené Brown. I've talked about her on the podcast before. When I think of Brené Brown, to me, she is the vulnerability guru, right? That to me is her shtick. Be vulnerable. And Arthur Brooks is like, people need to know your weaknesses. And my wife and I were talking about this. And this is something I would love to talk with Arthur Brooks or Brené Brown about. And it's this line between vulnerability and pathetic. This line between vulnerability and oversharing. Or even like the right context or the right venue. Like, is the way that I connect with you or with my clients, is the way that I do that by telling everyone all of my weaknesses, all of my failures, all of my sins? And that does not feel right. And I don't think that's what you want on this podcast. Am I right? It does not feel right. But it does feel right to say, it does feel right to give you a more full picture of my fundraising career and to say, yes, I did sit at the feet of Jerry Panis and I learned at a young age and implemented at a young age the very best fundraising practices that are life building and relationship building. And I think it's so awesome that the best fundraising practices really are life building and relationship building. That we don't have to choose between the best and what feels nourishing to the soul. But I will also say that I worked in slash and burn fundraising. I found myself in places where I felt like I was merely begging for money and a donor was merely handing me a check. And by the time I was 30, after having this meteoric rise, I was living in my in-law's garage and I had exited the nonprofit world and I was going door to door selling credit card processing as a merchant services rep. And I spent the first half of really not quite, but yeah, kind of the first half of my 30s, I would say, were spent trying to get out of this business. And maybe you're like me and you have been exhausted, you have been burnt out, you have felt like you can't ask another person for money, you're just tired of it. And there's part of you that is saying, like, can't I just go get a regular job? Can't I learn a trade? Or just go get a marketing job for some big corporation? Tell me you haven't had that desire in a moment of frustration. But you know that you would feel this longing to come back here to the nonprofit world, to be wrapped up and fully engaged in life-changing or world-changing work where you're changing the world or saving the world or saving the planet or saving souls or alleviating poverty and human suffering. Like, that's what you want to do, right? Like, and you know it, you know who you are. And yet here you are, you're sitting here right now and you were exhausted. And I want to confess to you that I have been there. And I want to confess to you that I got there. And maybe you have gotten by having an unhealthy view of fundraising or participating in unhealthy fundraising practices. Like, I learned from the master and I abandoned his teachings. At least for, like, I didn't abandon them. I always knew what they were. I never questioned them. But I got into situations where that's not what I was doing. And I had come out of a time, I was engaged in slash and burn fundraising. I had quit my job at the Reagan Ranch. I left the Reagan Ranch in January of 2008. That year, Great Recession, almost nothing goes as I expected it to. By the end of 2008, I was raising money for a PAC in the 2008 presidential election cycle. Now, let me tell you, when you are trying to elect a president, nobody cares about long-term relationships with donors. No one wanted to know, Clark, what's your long-term strategy with this donor? Or no one wanted to know, like, Clark, are you burning bridges? They just wanted me to bundle checks right now, and we needed them right now. They didn't want a 3-month plan. Forget a 3-year plan or a lifelong plan. They wanted money right now, right? So that was 2008. 2010, I ran for Congress myself, and that absolutely exhausted me. And so I wrapped up that campaign. I was 30 years old when I ran for Congress. I wrapped up that campaign, and I was like, I am done. I am getting out of this. I'm going to go door to door selling credit card processing. And for a couple of years, about the only thing I did in the nonprofit world is I would go speak at some conferences or seminars, or occasionally go into an organization and train their staff. That was all I did. And I found joy in doing that. And how I ended back in fundraising and as a coach and a guide to fundraisers was truly, I think, by being really honest about the pitfalls of fundraising. And even though I wanted to get out of it back in, this would be 2010, 11, 12. Even though I wanted to get out of it, I stayed in the game a little bit. And I was able to find my joy a little bit. At Major Gifts Fundraiser, we have our levels of fundraisers, right? What level are you, right? So I always, you may have heard me talk about this in other settings, right? Level one, you don't actually have meetings. You just go to, you don't meet with donors. I always call level one donors. These are people who meet with, or they have the title development director or whatever, but they don't actually meet with donors. They go to Rotary luncheons. They attend staff meetings. They don't actually sit in donors' living rooms. They're level one fundraisers. Level two fundraisers are tea and cookies fundraisers. They go and have tea and cookies with their donors. Good for them, because they're actually sitting in a donor's living room, but they're not actually like being strategic. Level three fundraisers are fundraisers who ask strategic questions and listen to gift. Level four fundraisers are askers, right? They're like not afraid to ask for the gift. Level five fundraisers are closers, because it's one thing to ask for a gift. It's another thing to know how to close a gift. But level six, those are our peak performance fundraisers. And we also call peak performance fundraisers trusted advisor fundraisers. All right. And the question is, do you consider yourself a trusted advisor? Do you think your donors could say that about you? He is, she is my trusted advisor. And I have talked about this on the podcast before as well. Ask yourself this question. Do you believe that your role in your donor's life makes the donor a better person? Or let me put it to you this way. Could your donor say of you, fill in the blank, but just imagine, like, can my donor say of me, having Clark in my life makes me a better person? And that's a yes, like they have to answer yes or no. Can my donor say that about me? That is the goal. Does having Sally, does having Samantha, does having Steve in my life make me a better person? Can your donors say that about you? That's the goal. That's what we're after. We want to be a trusted advisor to our donors, where we are helping them become the very best version of themselves by channeling their lives and their resources into the things that they value most. And they ask us about other organizations they are supporting or they could support, or they ask us what we think of a proposal that's been submitted to them, or they talk with us about their kids or other things that are going on in their life, because we're a trusted advisor. And I will burn out if I am merely begging for money and a donor is merely handing me a check. But I will never burn out on helping people become the best version of themselves. I'll never burn out on that. I don't think you will either. And right, and becoming the best version of themselves, right, will occasionally require you asking them for a gift. And not that giving, right, not that giving you money, not that making a gift makes them a better person. All right, I'm going to stop there. Check out this book. All right, this is the book, From Strength to Strength by Arthur Brooks. I highly recommend it. There's lots of good stuff in here. I focused on one section, which was embracing your weaknesses. But man, this is good. And I've got lots of stuff that I have underlined and asterisk to come back to later. All right, that's all I've got for you today. Hey, as always, comments, questions, you want to reach out to me, the email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. Hey, and please go find us on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Drop me a line there. I'll just be so happy to hear from you. All right, and please tell your friends, pass the podcast around, rate us, review us, follow us, all that good stuff. Hey, I appreciate you. I can't say this enough. I really can't. I can't say this enough. Thank you so much. I'm being serious here. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to invest in your life and to invest in your career. It means I'm just honored. I really am. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, Monica here. I hope you've been enjoying the podcast and getting some great bits of information from each episode. I want to take just a minute and talk with you about how you can work with Clark as your development coach, or as he likes to put it, your mountain guide. If you were going to trek into the mountains, you may hire a mountain guide. If it's a big mountain and you don't know the terrain and you don't have experience in those parts, you certainly should have a guide. So when it comes to nonprofit development and major gifts fundraising, Clark can be that guide. He has been in these mountains before. He has over 20 years of experience and has raised millions of dollars for all different types of organizations. He knows what to expect. He's seen a lot. He knows the terrain. And like a mountain guide, he can help you. He can't take the steps for you, but he can take them with you. He has a map. He has a plan. He knows the weather. He can be your guide. So if you're looking for a coach to help take you to new heights, we're here to help. We can put together a custom coaching package that works for you. For more information, reach out to me on email at monica@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, @majorgiftsfundraiser.com.